Plus 49.
Hello and welcome back to Plus 49, your weekly guide to life in Germany. Hi everyone, my name is Andrea Famel and you may know me from a couple of episodes before when Sigrid interviewed me about growing up in a bicultural family. My father being a made in Mexico German and my mother being a Mexican woman with an immense admiration for Germany. After that episode, Sigrid asked me if I wanted to be part of this podcast, to share my views, to bring new people on, and to help digest Germany for her, and now for our listeners. So, welcome everybody. As we move deeper into November, almost reaching December, the days get shorter, the skies get darker, and the countdown to Christmas is about to begin. This week, we're looking at what's happening in German politics and infrastructure, from the Rentenpaket discussion to the future price of the Deutschland ticket, plus a look at Germany's gas reserves and what they mean for the coming winter. In culture, we're stepping away from the Christmas market we covered last week and diving into something even more central to German Christmas spirit, the Advent season. We've also got a fresh round of events from the Hannover region, from cozy village celebrations to full-on light spectacles in a palace. And of course, we'll tease our conversation with Vanessa Munoz-Pretzel, an established yoga teacher in Berlin from Sony, Texas. Let's get started with the news. Let's begin with a topic that continues to shape political conversations this season, the Rentenpaket. Discussions are still ongoing about how Germany plans to secure long-term pension stability. While the government aims to protect the 48 pension level into the next decade, critics argue over how sustainable that is actually going to be, especially for younger generations who will ultimately foot the bill. These debates are expected to intensify as the year wraps up. Now to the headline that affects millions of commuters, the Deutschland ticket. The Bundesrat has approved the long-term funding plan, meaning the ticket is financially secured until 2030. The federal government and the states will continue to subsidize it with 1.5 billion each per year. But for subscribers, as you may have already noticed in the app or via email, the price will rise. Starting January 2026, the monthly cost increases from 58 euros to 63. From 2027 onward, the ticket price will be automatically adjusted each year based on a cost index that takes wages and energy prices into account. Originally, the coalition agreement promised no price increase until 2029. So, as you can imagine, the yearly rise is stirring up criticism among both commuters and some political voices. And finally, Germany's gas reserves. Current storage levels are around 75%, lower than previous years and below many neighboring countries. Experts warn that if Germany faces a winter as cold as in 2010, reserves could run critically low by mid-January. A mild or average winter poses no problem, but policymakers are being urged to create better long-term mechanisms to ensure higher storage levels in the years ahead. Bottom line, keep an eye on your energy use. Expect transport prices to adjust sooner than later. There is some quiet around the chaos of Christmas, and that is the 4 weeks, or better say, the 4 Sundays before Christmas, called Advent. That's Germany's slow, gentle countdown to Christmas. Advent may not be loud or flashy, but it is deeply embedded in German households. The centerpiece of the season is the Adventskranz, the Advent wreath. A circle of fir branches decorated with ribbons, dried fruits, stars, and, of course, 4 candles. Every Sunday, 1 candle is lit. First 1, then 2, then 3, then 4. It's the simplest ritual, but one that creates a warm moment of pause in a dark month. In many homes, families sit together for coffee and cake as they light the candle of the week. Then, of course, there's the beloved Advent calendar, Germany's gift to the rest of the world. Traditionally, it has 24 little doors, each hiding a chocolate. But modern Germany has turned this into a full industry. Calendars with tea, spices, beer, skincare, cheese, socks, candle, legal, and even one of pets. No, not of pets, but for pets. It's nostalgia, it's surprise, and marketing all rolled into one. And people genuinely love it. Advent also brings a shift in pace. December Sundays often mean cozy breakfast, baking plätzchen or Christmas cookies, visiting family, or simply lighting the candle and slowing down for a moment. German radio stations switch to Christmas playlists. Bakeries overflow with seasonal pastries and living rooms begin to fill with lights and the winter decorations. Not all at once, but gradually, week by week. For expats, Advent is one of the easiest traditions to take part in. You don't need a perfect German to enjoy it. Just get an Advent calendar, light a candle, join friends for an Advent cafe, bake a batch of cinnamon stars, or simply enjoy the quieter atmosphere that settles in. This is the cozy, reflective side of German winter, far from the crowded markets. And of course, one more thing. In many families, December Sundays come with some music. Someone brings out a song sheet, someone else lights the candle, and all of a sudden everybody's singing Leise Riesel der Schnee. You don't have to know the words, but if someone hands you a lyric sheet, just go for it. It's a part of the charm and an old tradition that Germany still keeps alive. Coming up later in the show, we revisit a special conversation with Vanessa Munoz Pretzel, a US-Mexican yoga teacher based in Berlin. We'll talk about belonging, about community, and what it means to feel at home. I really hope this interview makes you think and reflect and maybe, only maybe, even make you smile. Hi, dear listeners. I'm Andrea, and this is Plus 49. This is my first interview in this Plus 49 space, which Sigrid created with the idea of diving deep into Germany and sharing experiences and know-hows about this country and its people as people with a migration story behind us. My first guest also has something to do with me. I've been practicing yoga for over 15 years, and a couple of months ago, I had to look for a new studio because my yoga teacher decided to take a break. But life always teaches us that with every closing brings new beginnings. And that's how I landed on a mat with Vanessa Munoz Pretzel as my teacher. Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, Andrea. Thank you for having me. It's such an honor to be here.
The honor is mine. So, Vanessa comes from warm and sunny Texas, and as you might hear in her last name, she also has Mexican roots. Vanessa's been teaching yoga for over 10 years in the US, in Germany, and some other places around the world. Besides her regular classes in different studios around Berlin, she also teaches privately. She offers workshops. She takes part in teacher trainings. Well, she's a teacher training teacher. And she also works as a breathwork facilitator and has her own approach to sound baths. And before I keep listing everything that Vanessa does, Vanessa, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Aw, okay. So yes, I come from El Paso, Texas. My father is from Mexico, from Ciudad Juarez, which is just across the border of Mexico. And actually, my father was the one who introduced me to Kundalini yoga over 20 years ago. And at first, I was a little bit taken back by the practice. And now I actually love teaching Kundalini plus many other styles like Hatha yoga and Vinyasa yoga and the breath work that Andrea has mentioned. And then I've been traveling a lot to Peru and many other places where I'm able to support people on their journey to becoming yoga teachers. And I've really been enjoying that.
Oh, well, that sounds so interesting and so amazing. So back to Germany, you have a US American and a Mexican background. How do you think that these two cultures shaped or kind of shaped the way you adapted to Germany?
Well, yes, I have a background as a Mexican. My mother is Lebanese, and I also have a little bit of Cherokee Indian, which is quite a mixture. But what all those cultures have in common is that they're warm and welcoming and open. So coming to Berlin and encountering the mindset here was quite a shock at the beginning.
How long have you been here already?
I've been here 8 years.
Oh, and what brought you actually to Berlin?
I married a German.
Oh, that's where the pretzel comes.
Yes. Not, it's not a yoga name. It's my real last name.
And did you have expectations coming to Germany? And the where they met, those expectations, did you have any at all, or was it just a surprise?
My father shared a lot about Germany in the past, so my expectations were quite high. He said, the cars are great, the food is great, the beer is great, the roads are great. So I met my husband actually through my father, through friends, through connections.
Okay. And well, I know that feeling of Germany being so organized and everything works well and the streets are amazing and the nature and so on and so forth, because my father also used to think like that. I still believe it's amazing, but I've seen how Germany has changed. So were your expectations met?
I must admit, after I learned the language and I was actually understanding what a lot of people were saying to understand more of the culture, I was a bit shocked because I realized, oh my gosh, the people here can be quite confrontational, abrasive, rude, and that's very different from where I come from. So it's been a roller coaster ride, I would say, the past 8 years, but I still love it here as well. And I think the beer is very good when I do drink beer. The roads are great. The nature is beautiful. There's lots of water. And then, sometimes you meet very, very nice people, especially through the yoga community.
Yeah, I know that feeling. So Berlin is rough, definitely. You only have lived in Berlin, or did you live somewhere else?
I actually lived in London for 2 years before. So my husband, who is German, grew up here. He studied in London, moved there when he was young, and then he stayed there. And when we actually met in Texas. He was living in London. So when I first decided to make the move, I was living and I moved to London or a place outside of London in Surrey and was living there for 2 years. And then we decided to move to Berlin because my husband has family here and he also has two children from his first marriage living close by. So we decided to move to Germany to be close to his family.
Okay, yeah, I can totally understand that. And if you compare living in London to living in Berlin, what is more welcoming, or in which aspects does Berlin feels welcoming if you compare it to London?
So coming from London and visiting the family here, I thought, wow, what a cool vibe. So artsy, so edgy, lots of exhibition, funky bars, cafes, lots of yoga studios, more affordable at that point. To when we would go out to eat, we were at times we thought, okay, this is wrong. Our bill is wrong. I know that that has changed over the past 8 years, but I would say I really got it. Berlin was electrifying for me when I would come and visit. I felt like I fit in the city because of the funkiness and the cool vibe compared to London, where London at that point was also very expensive and it had already been, in a way, like what I feel like Berlin is becoming.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. You have like lived this development of the city. I can totally relate to that because when I came to Berlin, it was kind of the same. It was like so alternative. And all of a sudden, it's like the yoga studios have become like so aesthetic. But well, tell me. What has been surprising or even difficult living in Germany culturally?
I didn't really have any expectations coming here. I would say until recently, I felt like Berlin was like pro-US. I guess this comes from knowing a little bit of the history of Berlin and when Germany was divided and President John F. Kennedy organized food groups into West Berlin. They called it the Luftbrücke, the air bridge. The Berliners, I think, have never forgotten that. But what's been most difficult culturally, I would say, is the people here. They are not as naturally curious or welcoming, I guess, or open, like from what I'm used to. And they don't really ask how you're doing, where in the States, everyone asks how you're doing.
You go into the gap and it's like, "Hi, how are you?"
Yeah, right. And then some people say, okay, that's fake. And I would say, well, yes and no, but at least they're friendly and at least they smile. And at least they want to engage and have a conversation. And I miss that.
Again, I totally relate to that. And back to culturally feeling that you belong. Are there moments where you feel absolutely as a US American in Berlin?
Yes, especially when I hang out with my American friends. When I find an American, I think like, okay, I'm home. And I could speak hours with them. That's what I miss. And that's when I feel like, okay, I'm American.
Yeah, that's interesting. I also had that feeling in my when I came to Germany. I was 19 and you didn't hear a lot of Spanish around. And every time that somebody was speaking Spanish, I went there and it was like, "Hi, how are you? You speak Spanish, where do you come from?" And I don't I've kind of lost that. So it's funny. It's like, "Oh my God. Other people that speak Spanish." You being a US American or feeling in those moments like a US American, you also have a Mexican root. Is there any way that you integrate the Mexicanness in your daily life? What would you think that it means for you personally?
So yes, the Mexican side of my family is definitely part of my cultural heritage. I use Mexican Spanish terms like mija or abuelo or abuela or papa. I like to sometimes actually swear in Spanish, like I use swear words. I won't share here.
You don't have to censor yourself.
Right. And of course I express myself in my heritage through food. I love spicy food. I really miss also the climate of the high desert, the sunshine, tequila. I mean, the good tequila, the good salsa. I actually had mentioned to you that I found finally a really authentic taco truck in Wittenberg Platz. And now it's my weekly Thursday lunch break is to go there and just have a delicious taco.
That's
So.
amazing. That sounds like you have integrated completely you being here in Germany and being a US Mexican with other cultural backgrounds to your, not only in your person, but also in your daily life. And how do you think that Germans usually respond to your cultural background? Because you said before that you thought that Germans react like really friendly to or are positive in front of US Americans. Do you think that has changed?
Well, two of my closest German friends here, one of them calls me Mamacita, and the other one calls me her spicy little, I think she called me the spice, her spicy taco or spicy, I don't remember, but she was making a joke that I'm her little, her spicy friend. But I would say that the Germans, I think they look at me and they wonder where I'm from because I also have these Lebanese, this Lebanese background. And so some might think I'm Syrian or even people think I'm Israeli. And once they hear me speak English, then they realize that I come from the US. And then it's happened to me where their attitude changes towards me. And they become even friendlier.
Oh, that's okay. That's interesting.
It's really interesting because it's, you know, it's then people get to know, oh, wait, she's American. Okay, what's going on here? And then when they see my last name, and then they realize, ah, okay, because America is also made up of immigrants, so.
Yeah, you are definitely an extraordinary example of migration. In the US, back in the US, you were also a yoga teacher, isn't it? Or do you have any other work experience? A corporate.
Well, corporate, no, I never really went towards the corporate, down the corporate road, but I left El Paso when I was 18. I moved to San Diego, which is also on the border of Baja California, which is also one of my favorite places on this planet. But I studied in San Diego and I studied visual arts, and I really loved working on film sets. And I thought maybe I would move to LA and work on films. So that creative part of me, I was able to connect to. And then I decided to travel. And then I decided to go to Southeast Asia, and I took time off traveling. And then I ended up back in my hometown in El Paso, really wondering where and what I was going to do. And then that's when I decided I was starting to practice yoga a lot more, and I decided I wanted to learn more about yoga. And so I signed up for my first yoga training, which was in Costa Rica in 2012.
Okay.
And I had just met my husband right before that training.
Oh my God. So it was pretty early, pretty clear that you were going down the yoga path.
At that point, I wasn't sure. I was like, okay, I'm pretty shy, I'm pretty timid. I don't know if I could stand in front of a class and teach yoga. I just wanted to learn more about this powerful practice. And so I just decided I will go and do this training, and then we'll see what happens. And I instantly started teaching when I got back to my hometown, because a friend of mine opened a yoga studio and was like, I need teachers. And so I was, in a way, forced and pushed into it. And then I just, that's when I found, my path towards being a yoga teacher.
And the cultural differences that you have perceived between the US, Americans, and other places being friendlier, do you confront that also in your yoga classes? Do you have, how's the relationship building with your students? Are they also curious, interested, or do they just say thank you and goodbye?
Okay, I would say I was quite a beginner when I started teaching yoga in the States, but I would say for me, yoga has always been about community. And anywhere I have taught, it's always brought like-minded people together. When I first started teaching in Berlin, I was, in a way, not ashamed, but I was quite shy because I figured, okay, I don't speak the language. Who will ever want me to teach them a yoga class? And I really had these thoughts. And then I started teaching at the first studio, and there was a huge response. And after people get to know me here, I would say the Germans are quite more careful, and it takes time for them to open up. Where in the States, people open up right away. Here, it takes time. But once they do, then you know it's solid. But I would say even here, I've been able to always create and find a community through yoga, because for me, that's what yoga is.
Yeah. What would you say that Berlin has taught you about your profession, or maybe even about yourself?
My profession, I would say that no matter who you are, where you're from, because I'm a yoga teacher and because yoga means to unite and to bring together, I feel like it really has taught me that no matter where you come from and your country, the language, that you're able to connect with people from all around the world. And I would say that I connect with a lot of people from outside of Berlin because I teach in English. So I have a lot of foreigners who are not so comfortable, let's say, with the German language or taking a yoga class in German, to come to my classes. And then I don't know, I know people from China and from Russia and from the Ukraine and a lot of people from Israel. And so it's really this interesting combination. And I feel like it's just taught me that, yeah, at the end, what also yoga teaches us is that we're all the same.
That's nice. That's really beautiful. Do you feel at home in Berlin? If yes, when did that begin? And if not, what would you say is still missing?
I feel, yeah, I do feel at home in Berlin because I've been here for 8 years, and every time I go to my home, I really feel like, okay, I'm home. This is my home. And even when I travel, and I travel a lot, and even when I go back to my where I still call my home, Texas, I still even then call Berlin my home. So for me, it's like coming home is coming home to my dogs and to my husband and to just what I've built, my little, I would say my little sanctuary, I like to call it.
It's like about being present and just being belonging to where to the place you are living in that moment. I know the feeling also. Do you ha would you have an advice for people coming to Germany or people coming to Berlin and people that are trying to make a living here? What would you say? Keep this in mind. Keep always this in mind, even though it might seem like a tough place to live.
Yeah, I would say definitely try to integrate, to understand the culture. There's these integration courses and language courses that are available to everyone. I did it at the beginning, and it really, really helped me to at least understand the language, or if I was to go to a grocery store, or just to understand what's around me is to understand the language. And just to not give up. Because sometimes, yeah, it feels hard or it feels challenging or the people or the rudeness or just the differences, but to not give up. And if you can find a group of like-minded people and you can really connect with people and find a good group of friends, then you've got, yeah, everything made. There's so much here to offer. There's so much culture and there's wonderful restaurants and wonderful nature, and just so it's such a wonderful city. It's very vibrant, it's very alive. And yes, it's changing, but I feel it's all over the world changing.
Oh, that's a big message, and that's an important thing to keep in mind that everything is changing. And if you could say something or recommend something to the Vanessa from 8 years ago, what would it be?
What I would say to Vanessa 8 years ago is probably speak up, don't be shy, draw your boundaries. Always what my mom taught me, walk in with your head up high. A few times I was quite intimidated by people, by the language. And so, yeah, I would say that. If I was to go back 8 years ago.
And Germans do know how to put boundaries up.
That's right.
Is there something that Germany or Berlin taught you that you didn't expect?
That I have a voice and that I'm strong enough to use it.
Laws 49. Ask a German.
And now we have this special edition or the special part of the podcast that is called Ask a German. What is something funny or something that you always think, oh my God, that's so German, that you would like to talk about?
The culture of nudity. Because it took me some time getting used to, especially because I have a husband and my father who love saunas and love going to these spas. And I'll never forget the first spa I went to. I thought, excuse me, you want me to be nude with my husband, his family, my father, everyone in a sauna together? And it really is just something that I had to get used to. And that I always say, that's very German, or even Northern European, I guess.
Yeah, and did you get used to
I would say I'm halfway there.
it? Okay, because I cannot. That's something that is, it's above me. I can go there with people that I don't know, but with like family and friends and everybody's naked, it's like, okay, no, that's not my cup of tea.
Well, right, especially from where we come from.
Yeah, it's like we're conservative. We don't walk around naked. And that's not I have a problem with nakedness. It's just like, no.
It's conditioning.
It's conditioning, yeah.
But it makes sense in a way, you know, when you're in a sauna and in a steam room. I guess I would rather people be nude than be in bathing suits, because that's, I feel like, also part of the process, part of the cleansing is to, but at the same time, I agree with you. You know, if my father is there, or even my mother, anyone that I know that I just feel like, okay, maybe not, then I feel also very uncomfortable. So it's something that I think is very German and I had to get used to. And I always tell all my friends and people that come here, you know, okay, that's very German and that's the way it is.
And that's what we're going to do.
Yes.
Okay, Vanessa, thank you so much for sharing your story and your reflections and your energy today. It's been a pleasure having you here, and I'm sure our listeners will love getting to know more about Vanessa Munoz Pretzel.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a lot of fun.
And that's it for this week's episode of Plus 49. If you want a simple, clear overview of German news every morning, remember to subscribe to our morning espresso at plus49.de. It's free and delivered every day. Follow us on Instagram at plus49. And if you have any story ideas, questions, or something you'd love to share with the show, just send us an email at info@plus49.de. We'll be happy to read you.